You guys sleep okay last night? Yeah? Yeah, the first couple of nights are always very difficult to get a sound sleep. But after a whole day of just sitting and listening and praying, then I'm sure that your sleep at nighttime will become very sweet, very sweet. And we hope that your not only your sleep becomes sweet, but also your prayer also becomes sweet. Let's turn to the book of Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Verse 1 and verse 2. Judges chapter 6, verse 1 and verse 2. Judges chapter 6, verse 1 and verse 2. Verse 1. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. Verse 2. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, because of the Midianites, the children of Israel make for themselves their dens, the caves, and the stronghold, which are in the mountain. So we can see in the book of Judges, they were oppressed by the enemy for many years. And every time they got oppressed, God would send them a deliverer, and the deliverer are the judges. But after the judge had delivered them, then once again, they will go and do evil in the eyes of the Lord. And because of this, then God delivered them. Delivered them. Just like a person, if you order Chinese food, right? And they deliver to your house. And sometimes we can't fathom the idea that how can God do this to a chosen people? How can God deliver His children, His chosen one, to the enemies? And here in verse 1, what was the reason why God delivered them to the enemies? What's the reason? What's the reason here? Why? In verse 1, what's the reason? Yes. Don't be shy to speak out, right? Because every time I shield you, I'm going to ask you a lot of questions, right? Because they did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Because God not only loved, He's also just. Because He is just, when you and I do something wrong, and then He will deliver us to our enemies. And when He delivers to our enemy will oppress us. When the enemy oppresses us, just like here in verse 2, and the hand of the Midian prevailed against Israel. You know how sad that is? Because only Israel, out of Israelite during that time, worship the true and living God. So every time the enemies prevail over them, then God's name is not glorified. Why? Because how can you worship the true and living God and your enemy can overcome you? Your enemy can overtake you. Just like nowadays for you and I. We proclaim that we are the true church of God. We worship the true and living God. But our action does not go. Our action does not go how we worship the true living God. Of course, all of us have weaknesses. Sometimes we are addicted to video games. Sometimes we are addicted to talking and chatting online. But if we continue to do that, that kind of stuff becomes sin to us and becomes sin in the eyes of the Lord. And because of this, the way we live our life is very pitiful, just like the Israelites. Here, because they did evil in the eyes of the Lord, then God delivered them to the Midianites, to the enemy, even though they were the chosen people of God. And look at the second half of verse 2. The children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the stronghold which are in the mountains. Chosen people of God. They live in dens. They live in caves. They live in stronghold. What are dens for? What are dens for? Is it fit for the chosen people to live in? What are dens for? Who usually live in the dens or in the caves? You guys are very shy. Okay? Yeah, in cave, usually if you know, in the dark cave, usually like some kind of animals, right? Maybe bats, maybe bears. Of course, den, but the dens of lion, right? Lion lives in a den. Different animals live in a den. Is they are not fit for the chosen people to live in there. Anybody ever gone to a cave before? Yes. What caves are like? Yes, dark, right? What else? Yeah, cold, I guess. Because I like to hike. So every time I go hiking, so I like to go in caves and things like that, right? Especially when I was in Boston, I went to New Hampshire a lot of time. And a lot of those caves, actually, sometimes there's animals living in them, right? So you have to put a big sign, be cautious, right? It might be bears, it might be this, it might be that. But none of us, unless you get stuck in a snowstorm in New Hampshire, then you want to go into the cave and protect yourself. But there's no way you can live there more than a couple of days, you understand? Because the den is cold, dark, dreary. If animals die in there, it's smelly. It's smelly. And then, of course, it doesn't matter what kind of light. Of course, the more light that you burn in a cave, the more oxygen will take away from you, right? Because fire takes oxygen away. So because of this, you don't want to burn too bright, so it's dark, so you can breathe better. So dens and caves and strongholds, actually, is very pitiful. Very pitiful for the chosen people to live in. Just imagine during that time. You are so known all over the place. You were the one that destroyed the city of Jericho by walking around it. Because your God was with you. You're the one that destroyed all your enemies. You're the one that split the Red Sea because your God wanted you to walk on dry land. This is the chosen people. Now look at them. They resolve themselves into sleeping in dens and caves. And not only that, but the enemy oppressed them so much. Right? And look at verse 5. Chapter 6, verse 5. For they would come, that is the enemy, right? The enemy would come with their livestock and their tent, coming in as numerous as locusts, both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter land to destroy it. Look at verse 6. Verse 6. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. So here, right, the enemy will come as numerous as locusts. So anything that they have any kind of livestock, sheep, or donkeys and things like that, the enemy will take it all. So the Bible says that their life is so impoverished. I mean, it's the point, it's poor beyond poor. Right? It's beyond poor. So what's that going to do with us nowadays? Really reflect upon ourselves nowadays. Do you and I feel a kind of peace, that kind of joy? Or do we feel like every day is suffering? Every day is full of burden. We have no peace. We have no joy. If that is the case, this means we have done evil in the eyes of the Lord. And the Lord have given us to our enemies. That's why. I mean, it's so sad for me to see at your age, some of you have boyfriend and girlfriends. Why? Because deep down inside, you just feel empty. You need something to fulfill. And I can assure you that boyfriend and girlfriend cannot fulfill your heart. If your heart is not fulfilled in the Lord, in His Word, in prayer, there's no way anyone else can fulfill you. Only when your hearts are filled with our Lord Jesus Christ, and then when you get old, when you are married, then the other person can fulfill you. And the only reason they can fulfill you, because they love God very much. For me, the most difficult thing for me as a minister is when I leave my wife every time. And quite often people say, wow, Hawaii is paradise on earth, right? And really, Hawaii is a beautiful place. And there's a sister, she has a house in Kauai, right? You know, if you watch what is that movie, the girl that got her arm cut, bit by the shark, right? You know, Surfer, Soul Surfer, right? Soul Surfer, something like that. And actually, that area is where the sister lived. And her family own all the house on that beach, right? And every time you see the magazine about Kauai, it's always about her house and her family's house. Right? It's beautiful, right? White sandy beach, and the ocean just green and blue. I mean, from her house, you look out, you just feel like, wow, God is so wonderful, right? And then she has a pool too, right? And the pool, this pool is fed from the spring on top of the mountain. Anybody ever seen that kind of pool before? So this means when you're swimming, you can drink the water at the same time. It tastes so sweet. And when you shower, because they have shower outside too, and it's heated, the spring water heated, you shower, oh, you just feel you're in heaven for real. Because every time you take a shower, it's full of chloramines and things like that, right? So your body just doesn't feel that good. But spring water that's heated, your body just feels like, give me more, right? That's how wonderful it is. Then she had what? Around the pool, lychee tree, papaya tree, coconut tree, right? Mango tree. So I'm just in the pool, right? Eating the lychee and stuff like that, right? But after a couple of days, you just feel like, you know, because why? Because I mean, you can do so much fun by yourself. You're there. There's really, you know, you just, and then if you eat something tastes so good, what are you going to do? Who are you going to share with? Oh, this tastes so good. Just in your side of your head. Oh, it tastes good. But it's not as exciting, right? And the same thing with my wife. She traveled to different places, right? Quite often when she eat the lunch or dinner, she would Skype me, right? So she put a phone right next to her and then she see my face, right? So when she's eating, I'm right there with her, right? But even then, if you're not filled with our Lord Jesus Christ, there's no way you can be filled with anything else in this world. I love my wife very much, and she loved me very much. But once in a while, I still feel sad. Once in a while, I still feel empty inside my heart. And when I feel those kind of feelings, then I realize that I'm not close to God. That's why. So that's why you can see here, right? Here, the chosen people of God. Everything they have, their livestock, their livelihood, everything are taken by the enemies. Why? Because they did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And because of this, in verse 6, they cry out to the Lord. You know, sometimes we cry out to the Lord when you and I are in need of something, want something. And what kind of relationship is that? Think about this. When they were doing fine, when they're doing okay, why can't they just cry out to the Lord? Just like if one day you get married and the only time you speak to your spouse is when you need something. You think that's a good relationship? Of course not. The time when you speak to one another, when everything's going well, but you still continue to have a good relationship, continue to speak to one another, this is good relationship. Just like when you have friends, right? Imagine you have, you know, you call someone as your BFF and the only time they call if they need something from you. You think this is a really good friend? Of course not. A friend always communicate with one another, talk to one another. It doesn't matter what it is, what's going on, right? Because I know sometimes some brothers, I mean, this is not really, some brother, after they go to the bathroom, they would call another brother, share with them what happened, right? Like, what kind of strange thing is this, right? But if you look beyond that, because they're really close to one another, right? I mean, look at sister, quite often they go to the bathroom together, right? Things like that, right? But for guys, I mean, some guys does that too, but it's not as cool as sisters when they go to the bathroom together, right? But this shown friendship, everything that you do and things like that, you want to be close to one another. But here, because they're in trouble, because they need, so they cry out to the Lord. But God, really, when I study the book of Judges, God's merciful is so abundant and so great. Even though he allowed his enemy to oppress them 7 years, but he gave them 40 years of rest. So compared to the oppression, compared to the freedom that they have, is no comparison. So when they cry out to the Lord, and then the Lord sent out, or go and raise a judge, and this judge was Gideon. So that's why this morning we want to focus, because that Gideon can be you. That Gideon can be all of you. But quite often we think that Gideon is a mighty man of valor. He's a mighty man of God. So there's no way that we can be like that. But actually, you and I, we are greater than Gideon. We have the Spirit of God live inside of us. And every time we communicate with him, we just kneel down and just pray, and then God is with us. You know, in olden days, when our ministers go to Africa and things like that, you think they can talk to their wives? There's no way, right? Because there's no phone back in the old days. So for the whole month, they don't hear from they don't call their wife, they don't talk to their wife. But nowadays, you go to Africa, you still can just call your wife. So which one is better? In the early years or now? Now it's much better. I'm in Hawaii, I can talk to my wife every single day. Every single day. So the same thing you can see in the Old Testament, for them to communicate with God was very difficult. Why? Because Jesus did not come down to die for us yet. Jesus did not come buried and ascend to heaven to give us the Holy Spirit. But now, even though it's so much easier for us to communicate with God, to be connected with God, but we choose not to. It's a direct line from us to God, but because of our sin, because of our ways, even though we kneel down, it seems like the number is always wrong. Because when we kneel down and pray, it seems like, God, where are you? Why are you not picking up? Because that is our lifestyle. So that's why for us, we must learn from Gideon. And look at verse 11, chapter 6, verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came, sat under the terebinth tree, which is in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshing wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. So Gideon, was he a poor person or a rich person? Gideon, was he a poor person or a rich person? His family. Well, was he rich or poor? 50-50% chance, right? Was he rich or poor? He was a very wealthy person, Gideon. And his family, his father, Joash, has many servants. So that's why when he went out to destroy the altar in his father's house, he brought his 10 of his own servants. Right? But even though he was really rich, what was he doing here in verse 11? What's he doing? What is he doing? What was he doing? Hello? What was he doing? Yeah. Yeah, it's trussing wheat, right? So what does that mean? He's like, he worked just like a farmer. And trussing wheat is nothing so important. You understand? This is the mighty man of God. What is he doing? Trussing wheat. He's going to be out there fighting things like that. But actually, the mighty man of God is very different than the mighty man of the world. Here, for him, it doesn't matter what kind of duty that he has to do. He did it. You know, sometimes for us, you know, maybe when the church assigns us to lead hymns, or to clean the bathrooms, or the vacuum the church, we just feel, oh, that's not really so important a duty, right? That's not so important. I want to be the one who speaks in sermon. I want to be the one that the main person playing the piano. But in reality, brothers and sisters, every duty in church is equal to one another. It depends how you and I do it. Remember, right? When David was going against Goliath and the whole Israelite army, including Saul, remember Saul, he's a head taller than all the other people in Israel. Was Saul afraid of Goliath? Yes, he was. Was all the soldiers afraid of Goliath? Yes. The Bible described that they were dreadfully afraid. Dreadfully afraid. This means they were so scared to the point they can't even move. Dreadfully afraid. But for David, he had no fear in him at all. Why? Why do you think David had no fear in him at all? Because when his brothers, they were soldiers, and he was a shepherd. And when he was a shepherd, even though a shepherd is one of the lowest positions during that time. Even though he was a shepherd, but while he was shepherding his sheep, he experienced God mightily. He said, take what the lion by its beard, right? He killed the bear when they come to get his sheep. Come on, as a teenager, how can you do that, right? I mean, if you guys see a real lion before, I mean, several months ago when I went to one of the zoos in the Dallas area, a sanctuary, not even a zoo, like a sanctuary. And it is old lion. And it's not even a he, it's a she lion, right? And I saw her head, my knees got weak. Her head is like this big. I can't imagine just, you know, come and bites your head, right? And it's gone. You know, a male lion is like double the size of a female lion, right? I mean, if you see a male lion, they are huge. And of course, bears, we don't know what kind of bears he killed, but if it's one of those grizzly bears, right? Or brown bear, whatever it is. But, I mean, I remember one time we went to Lake Tahoe for camping. And at nighttime, of course, they always warn you there's bears stuff around it and that. And so my family, I was sitting against the forest side. Then one of my niece say, I need to go get something in the van. So when she went to the van, and then she, you know, turned back to come back, and she was like, "Is this a bear? There's a bear, right?" And we thought, stop joking around, right? Stop joking around. She's like, "No, there's a bear." And sure enough, we look back, and there's a bear right behind us, right? And when we see a bear, what's the first thing you shouldn't do? You shouldn't run. And we all ran. All of us ran, right? All the brothers and sisters ran, and we ran to our car and stuff like that. Because we were so scared. And the bear wasn't that big, probably my size. It wasn't that big for a bear. But all of us got so scared, right? And I feel so bad. One of the old sisters, she couldn't make it to the van, so she went into the tent. And the time the bear was like, you know, around her, she's like, please help me, right? Because she was so scared, but thank God, right, that the bear didn't eat her up or something like that, right? And of course, I forgot my dog out there too. I had to run back out again to get my dog back into the van. But it's only a small bear, it's not even that big, but everybody was so scared. I was scared, right? But for David, come on, those kind of stuff. That's why I say Goliath, what? 9 feet tall, no problem. He's nothing but an uncircumcised person, right? Why? Because he experienced God in his life. So the same thing for you and I. If we live a life without experience, there's no way we can conquer anything big. So that's why for Gideon, look, he's trusting the wheat. It's not a mighty man of God's duty. So that's why for us, don't take our duty in church very lightly. Everything that church assigns us to do, we must take it to heart. We must do our best. Why? Because this is to God. There's no difference between a sermon speaker and a person who leading him. Why? Because you're still serving God. Because God reward us the same. But that if we have the same heart and do it, we give everything to God. So that's why here, you can see, a mighty man of God, what does he do? But you know what? The angel of the Lord came and sat under, right? Didn't mean the angel of the Lord came and talked to him. And then what did God say in verse 12? And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." So far, we have no idea what characteristic Gideon is. We have no idea if he's mighty or not. We have no idea because right now he's playing with the wheat and the grain, right? But God knows. Because God knows his heart. And God said to him, "The Lord is with you." And God appeared to him during that time. How wonderful this is. Really, how many times did God have appeared to us? How many times that you and I have experienced God right in front of us? And quite often we don't experience God. We don't see God. Because of this, we grow weaker and weaker each day. That's why it's so important. We must serve God faithfully. When we serve God faithfully, and when God wants to raise us, when God wants to use us, then he will call us. Then we'll be ready. So that's why here, God said, "You're a mighty man of valor." And look at verse 13. Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us?" So see here, right? Because even Gideon is like, no, how can this be? If you are with us, if you are God, why all these things happen in our lives? We've been oppressed by an enemy, this and that, of course. But Gideon, you should know, because of their sin. Because of their sin. And then look at verse 14. Then the Lord said to him, "And go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" Verse 15. So say to him, "O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." Verse 16. And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." You can see, right? The mighty man of valor. This second characteristic of mighty man of valor, a mighty man of God, that he's very humble. He's very humble. Only when he's humble that God will be with him. Remember Moses. First 40 years of his life, he was strong, he was young. He wanted to deliver God's people. But God feared he was not ready. Even though Moses was really strong, powerful, man, God said he was not ready. So he 40 years in the wilderness with the donkeys, with the sheep. Can you imagine spending 40 years with the animals? Right? And then after 40 years, God wanted to use him. And then Moses, I can't do that. Why? Because for 40 years, if you're a shepherd out in the wilderness, who do you communicate to? Who do you speak to? With the sheep, right? And you probably smelly all the time, right? You just feel, I'm sure that he let his hair grow, because why do you need to groom his hair for? He doesn't live in the palace no more, right? He doesn't. So in other words, he became to the point that he realized he's a nobody. And that's why God said he was ready. So the same thing for us, brothers and sisters. I know that many of you are very capable, even though at a young age, to do many things. But if you want God to use you, if you want to be the mighty man of God, you must be a very humble person. If we are not a humble person, there's no way God can use us. Here, because even though God said, look, go in this might of yours, right? Because Gideon was strong. Go in this might of yours and save Israel. Why? Because I want to send you. But Gideon said, no, Lord. Of all the tribe in Israel, my tribe is the least. And in my father's house, I'm the least one. In other words, see, I'm a nobody. God, I'm a nobody. Why would you want to send me? That's the time when God will use him. And that's the time where God use us. Because quite often in this culture nowadays, everything has to do with pride, right? I can do this. I can do that. Everything has to do with I. But on the end, what counts is that? Even though we are capable of doing something, but we have a humble heart, then God will use us. Just like any superheroes, right? All the superheroes, they all are humble people. Why? Because the minute they're not humble any longer, they become evil. Just like the Black Spider-Man, right? Right, Spider-Man, I don't know which one that was, right? When he turned black, right? Then after that, you know he's not humble anymore, right? He go and beat people up, this and that, right? Then he become the villain, become evil, right? And the same thing with Superman, old Superman, right? He had to fight against himself, right? Because the other one was full of pride, right? I don't know if you guys saw this, Christopher Reed, that's a long time ago, right? So just like any superheroes you watch, if you see that they are proud, they're no longer your superhero. Really, think about it. And that's why Captain America, right? Captain America, before the professor died, what did he say to him? He pointed to his heart, right? He pointed to his heart. That is the most important part. Always stay true to yourself. Why? Because when he's all skinny and small and everybody's picking on him, he's a very humble person. But now he's all big and strong. But you must have the same heart. You must have the same heart. So it's a sad thing for Gideon. In the beginning, actually, he started off very well, but on the end, it was a bad ending, right? But it's sad. But for us, we really should learn a lot. So now let's come up and pray together. And let's pray and ask God to reveal the sinners inside our heart. Because without getting rid of the sin, there's no way that you and I can experience God. And ask God to give us a heart of humility. Because one of the characteristics of a mighty man of God, we must have a humble heart. Because when we are humble, God will exalt us. Now let's come up and pray together. We ask the ministers to lay hands on us. Please come and pray together.